morning. Good to see you all here today. Welcome to the Promised Land, everybody. My name is Robin Steele. We're glad to have you in the house today. You made it. Give yourself a hand right now. Yes, you are brave and God is with you. And I'm so glad to have you at Promised Land today. And I want to welcome, before we go any further, everybody that's watching us online. I have a feeling there's a lot watching us online today. And I also want to welcome our Lockhart campus. They are joining us via video right now. And it is so exciting every time we get to join up both campuses together at the same time. And you may wonder why I've dressed up today. We are celebrating a birthday. This is our Lockhart campus's second birthday. So come on, let's give it up. Lockhart, yes. Yes, we are so thankful for Pastor Mike and Irene and all the hard work they've done. And there's a ton of volunteers at Lockhart campus. And we're just so excited about what's going to happen this fall. If we all don't float away first. And here in San Marcos, obviously, rain and the weather's always makes us a little nervous after we've had so much flooding. But we're thankful for the rain. It's been dry, so thank God for that. Hey, I want you to take out notes. You should have been given some notes today, some fill-in-the-blank notes. I want you to take those out right now because I'm about to get started, and I'm going to get excited today, so I'm not sure I'm going to stay on this stool for very long. I might fly off of it here in a second. But we are focusing on your family over the next month, over the next 30 days, five Sundays actually. We're going to be focusing on your family. And so the Bible is filled with wonderful principles dealing with your family, and we want to dig into those. And we want to learn what they are. We want to know what the Bible says about family. And we want to start putting them into practice. So today, I'm going to give you five things that you can begin doing this week for your family. And I want to encourage you to do one of them, two of them, three of them. Or if you're feeling really zealous, all five. They're really not that hard, honestly. But they're important. And if you're in here today and you say, well, I'm a single adult, I live by myself, or I'm a college student or whatever, and you don't have a family per se right now, I want to expand the definition of family a little bit today. And this is the first couple of blanks you have on your screen or your paper. There's two types of family that I want to talk to during this series. The first is what we're going to call your live-with family. And the second is what we're going to call your worship-with family. All right? So two family types. Very important. The first one is your live-with family. Obviously, this is your biological family. These are your roommates. These are the people that you live with. This is the closest people in proximity that you're around, okay? You're sharing milk with them. You're sharing frozen pizza with them. Come on, somebody. You're sharing the same bathroom sometime. Woo! Some of y'all need to pray about that one right there. You're living together. We want whoever you're living together with, whether that's your biological family or your roommates or whatever, to be in biblical character and form. The second is your worship with family. These are the people that are here today. These are the people that are gathering in Lockhart Junior High right now. These are people that you will join up with this week in a small group, in a home, in a coffee shop. These are people that you connect with spiritually. I want to start with a powerful verse in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 24th verse. And I want this to be sort of the hub or the center of the text for this whole series. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 24th verse says this: "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." Let us, what does that say? Think of ways. Let us be creative. Let us be intentional. Let us work at it. Let's invest in the people that are closest around us, our family, our live with family, and our worship with family. Let's think of ways. And so I want you to gather with your prospective families this week, and I want you to start brainstorming ways that you can motivate one another toward, what does it say? Love and good works. And I know those of us that are parents are often trying to figure out ways to discipline and to change and to shift some things around in our family. Let's look at Scripture right here. Let's get creative and find ways to motivate one another towards good things, to good works and love. And then look what that very next verse says. Verse 25, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." So, we typically take this passage and really just apply it to our worship with family, our church. So come to church and be a part of that. And we're going to talk about that today. But I also want you to just open your mind to how that would apply to your biological family. How we could get together. Don't neglect getting together. All right. Here are the five things I want to throw at you today. Here's number one. Are y'all ready? Yes, sir. Lockhart, are y'all ready? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, here we go, Lockhart. Change your family atmosphere today. Everybody say today.
Today.
Change your family atmosphere today. Here's something I want you to grab a hold of. The atmosphere in your home can change today. Today. The atmosphere of your home can change today. Now, the habits and the culture of your home may take a while to change, but the atmosphere and the attitude of your home can change right now. Right now. Last week, I talked about mind shift, and for those of you in Lockhart didn't hear it, and some of you maybe here in San Marcos didn't hear it, we have to have a mind shift when it comes to our family atmosphere. The old way of thinking, the old way of our mind, is that my family's a lost cause, my parenting skills aren't good enough, my grandparenting skills aren't good enough. Hey, by the way, let's stop and say, Happy Grandparents' Day. Today is Grandparents' Day. Come on, grandparent. Yeah, we love you. How many grandparents we got in here? Yeah, wow, y'all are old. Okay. I love the 8:30 service. Yes. There's probably going to be more people in the 10:30 at Lockhart and the 8:30 than all the other services. So, y'all are my fighters. Y'all hardcore. All right. Shift your way of thinking. Sometimes we get stuck in an old mindset of, I'm afraid for my kid's future. My parents, maybe your kid, and you're saying, my parents don't understand me. My family's not going to make it. Our finances aren't going to make it. Whatever it is about your family that you don't think is going to happen or is going to work. I want us to shift the way we think about our family, and that can happen today. My family is God's creation and design. That's a new way of thinking. That's what we want us That's what we want to be moving in our thoughts. My family is God's creation and design. He's the designer and builder of my family. Y'all realize that? This is what Genesis says in 2:24. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is God's design for family. For him and her to leave their prospective parents and come together and form a new bond, a new family. That's what God created. Family is not an accident. It's not something that evolved. It is designed by God. And if it's designed by God, then he knows how to fix it when it screws up and when it gets hard. Look what it says in Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. Y'all know what that means? Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Now, can you imagine what that first birth was like? I mean, a birth is amazing, and there's been billions of births that have happened. And every time we see a birth or experience a birth, and I've been privileged to be at 6 different live births and experience those at home, at the hospital, C-section, and every single one's unique and every single one's special. But could you imagine what it was like to be at the very first birth of all time? And all of a sudden, this child, this human is coming out of another human being. That was crazy. That would have been weird. But that was God's design. He created it that way, and it's good. Remember, the Bible also says in Genesis, it was not good for man to be alone, so God created community for man to live with others. So God, everybody say God, he's the sole authority on the value and health of your family. Instead of looking at magazines and movies and people at work and people at school to judge and see if your family's good or legit or making it or successful, instead, let's go to the creator of family and let's let him determine the value of our family, our biological family, our living with family, our church family. He's the one. So, okay, I got to get off the stool. If you're entering into this month, you're entering into September, and you're struggling with your family, and you're trying to figure out how we're going to make it, how's this going to happen, I want to speak good news over your family right now. I want to prophetically speak over your family right now. Are you ready? God is the creator of your family. Your marriage and your family is God's creation. That means it's in God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And that means that God has the power over your family. Amen. God has the power over your family. And then, a few years from now, a few weeks from now, a few hours from now, whenever it happens, when your family dynamic begins to shift, God is going to get all the glory for your family. Amen. Your family is going to have a testimony about what God has done in it. Amen. When you start thinking those negative thoughts about your family, you need to start saying, not today, devil. My family is going to make it. Why? Jesus Christ. That's all you got to say. Jesus Christ is why my family is going to make it. Amen. It's God's design. It's God's plan. Here's number two. This is the second thing that you can do today is you can start praying for, with, and over your family. Pray for your family. Pray with your family. Pray over your family. Dad and mom, listen to me. Grandma and grandpa. God has put you in a place, a specific place, to be the leaders of the home. Mom and dad, guess what? You're the leader of the home. Did you know that? It's It's amazing to me how many times I talk to mom and dads, and the posture of their conversation is that the kids are in charge of the home. That is not God's design. Amen. Amen. So I want to share with you God's way, God's plan. He's put you as leaders of the home, and part of the responsibility as leaders of the home is to connect your home to God. Now, when we move into a house, the very first thing that we do is we put all of our stuff in there, but then the second thing that we do is we call PEC, we call the electric company, we call San Marcos Utility, we connect it to the electricity, we connect our home to utilities and water and power, and then, so important, we got to call up Spectrum, right? Or Dish, or DirecTV. We got to connect it to the cable. We got to connect it to, you know, TBN and TBS and CNN and Fox. We got to get connected. And then we got to get high-speed Wi-Fi. We got to get the highest speed Wi-Fi. We spend so much money and so much time, and we feel so weird in that space of time between the time we move in and the time we're connected to all this data and information. And we feel like we're totally disconnected from the world. But here's the deal I want to talk to you about this morning. We freak out if we don't have cable for a couple of days or no Wi-Fi for a couple of days. But we go months or years without connecting our house to God. We don't connect our house to heaven. The creator of the world, the one who designed your family and knows every detail, knows every heartbreak and every trouble that you're going through. God knows all about it. He's waiting for you as the leader and the steward of the home to make a connection from your broken family structure to a perfect and loving God. And so, this is the point. Pray with, pray for, and pray over your family. And I understand for me it's easier because I'm a pastor and that's what I do for a living. I pray. And I pray in front of people and I pray all the time. And I pray in front of you. I pray on the internet. I pray in person. I prayed at, you know, council meetings and all these. I pray. So for me, I can say, pray over your family. And that's easy for me because I do it all the time. For you, some of you are more rookie pray people, prayers. I understand that. But I want you to start somewhere. Start small, all right? We pray over our food most of the time in Texas. It's a very common practice for people to pray over food. And sometimes, most of the time, it's because if I don't, I'm going to get cursed by God. These Cheetos are going to have poison in them if I don't pray over them. This chips and salsa, the food comes out, and you don't pray, and you're sitting there looking in judgment at a friend because they've eaten their salad and they haven't prayed over it yet. Instead of being so concerned about praying over that salad, start praying over your kids. Start praying over your marriage. But praying at food, if that's all the time and the effort you have at this point to pray, use that time at mealtime to pray. And instead of being so concerned about the poison content of your food, just take that time to pray with your family in general. All right? Just instead of being like, I got to pray over this French fry and all that. No, just, hey, how did everybody's day go today? Let's pray over what happened today. Does anybody have a need here? Just let it be known by raising your hand. Come on, at the dinner table. Just take some prayer needs. And just pretend like you're me, all right? And just start praying over your family at the dinner table. And that's so important, prayer. So you can pray before bedtime. When our kids were smaller, you know, it was such a big deal, bedtime. It took both of us to get all three kids into bed, so we would, there was a big prayer time, as we would put our kids to bed. And it was just a family tradition that we prayed at the end of the day, and we would talk to them about their day, and we'd pray about their day, and we'd pray over them and pray with them and teaching them how to pray and teaching them how to talk about things to God. So, so very important. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So important. And what a great family scripture. This is another scripture you probably hadn't heard of or thought about in a family context, but there's no better place to confess sin than to your husband or to your wife. Confessing sin to your prayer partner, your spouse. Confessing sin to a parent, to a grandparent. "Hey, I need help with this. I have sinned. I need you to help me pray about this." Confess it. Talk about changing the dynamics of your family. And sometimes we're afraid to do this because we're afraid of what might happen. But I want to encourage you today. When we have a culture in our family of transparency and prayer, things change. Changes the atmosphere. Look what 1 Timothy 4:12 is. This is something you can pray over your kids. If you want to know the difference about praying for your kids or praying over your kids, this is something you can pray over them like a blessing, like a proclamation, like a prophetic prayer over your kids. "Lord, I pray," look at 1 Timothy 4:12, "that no one will think less of my kids because they are young. God, I pray that they're going to be example to all believers in what they say and the way they live, in your love, God, in your faith, and in your purity." That first Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all the believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." But I want you, those of you that are parents, I want you to write that down, 1 Timothy 4:12. Here's a way that you can turn a scripture into a prophetic prayer over your kids. Are y'all with me? Don't let anyone think of Jude and Avery and Kennedy. Don't let anybody think less of them because they're young. God, I believe even at their age right now, they can make an impact in the world today. I pray they can make an impact at church, at home, at school, on the athletic field. God, just because they're young doesn't define their value, God, in Jesus' name. And then it says, be an example. God, I pray that they're going to be an example to all believers. God, I pray that my kids are going to be an example to me, that I could learn from my kids. I pray that they're going to be an example to their friends. I pray they're going to be an example to their teachers, God, wherever they go, God, in what they say, in the way they live, in the way they love, God, in your love, and your faith, and your purity, God. I just pray purity over my kids, and innocence over my kids, and naivety over my kids, and a heart for you. Y'all see what I'm doing? I'm giving you some really good practical ways to help your family. Take them down, write them down. So good, so important. Look what Deuteronomy 6:6 says. This is Old Testament. "The commandments I give you today must be in your hearts. Make sure your children learn them. Talk about them when you are at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Speak about them when you go to bed. And speak about them when you get up." What a great text for family culture right there. Deuteronomy 6:6 and 7. There's so many things that we think our kids know already, but this is telling us, talk to them about it. Train them up. Tell them why, not just what, but tell them why and how and when. Teach them. That's a great text right there. Write that down. Deuteronomy 6:6 and 7. All right, here's number three. This is what I want us to do, number three. First of all, I talked to you about changing the atmosphere and the culture of your family. Second, pray for, with, and over your family. Here's number three, extremely practical. Eat more meals together. Eat more meals together. You may not think that this is that important, but it is extremely important. Extremely important. Abraham, will you turn on the air conditioner for me, please? It is getting hot in here. I don't know what it feels like over there in Lockhart, but in San Marcos, it's getting hot. Okay, anyway, eating meals together is scientifically proven to help your family out. It's not just a biblical thing, but secular research shows that if you simply get together and eat meals together, it helps your family out. But it's in the Bible too. Acts, the first, second, third, fourth chapter, we see that the family that worshiped together committed to eating meals together. It's so important. So eating together is very, very healthy. And here's something I want to add to it. No electronics at the table. No television turned on in the living room. Turn off all electronics. Put it on mute. Turn it off. Put it in a different room. Can I get an amen on this one? I'm talking to parents and kids. Parents, we're as guilty as everybody else as being distracted from our kids. This is so important. I don't know what they dealt with back in the Bible times, but this is a very, very practical and real issue in our culture today. It's too much electronics. And so when we get to the table, we're going to turn them off. I just told my kids yesterday, do you realize that God designed you in such a way that you do not need to be looking at your phone? I know that that might seem strange to you because you're always attached to it, but you don't need to look at your phone all the time. A report by CASA found that teens who have between 5 and 7 family dinners per week were twice as likely to report receiving mostly A's and B's in school. In 2008, researchers at Brigham Young University conducted a study of IBM employees and found that sitting down to a family meal helped working moms reduce the tension and strain from long hours at the office. It's clear. The more we eat together as a family, the more healthy we're going to be. And it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes planning, and it takes fixing a meal. And I know for some people that's just not natural. You don't like to cook. You're just like, just find something and just live, okay? I'm not cooking for you today. Survive, all right? Go get some Cheetos. Go get some. I keep talking about Cheetos today. All right, here's number 4. Commit to the next 4 Sundays at Promised Land. Yeah! Why am I talking to you guys about this? You're here in the pouring down, flooding rain. You got number 4. You can check that off. Everybody at Lockhart, you made it today. You're in a cafeteria, for crying out loud. You are good, okay? But if you happen to just accidentally show up today at church, and it was just a coincidence that you had to take a boat to church today, okay? Commit to the next 4 Sundays, all right? Don't miss a Sunday in September. It's important. Clock it in, write it in, put it on the calendar. Make sure, plan your week around it. When you're looking at your schedule, say, this is the first thing that we're going to make sure that we get done today, is that we're going to go to church this Sunday. And the Cowboys only have 1 noon game all month. All the other games are at 3:30 or at Sunday night or Monday night. So don't even have to worry about that, all right? But if it's really a problem, you can DVR it, okay? DVR the first 30 minutes and then get to the Cowboys game. The Texans play every game at noon. So Texan fans, we're going to pray for you for many reasons. But the Sleep Health Journal reported that adults who attend church exhibit healthier sleep outcomes than those who don't. You sleep better if you go to church often. That's what the Sleep Health Journal reported. Adults who attend church exhibit healthier sleep outcomes than those who don't. Some of you, it's because you sleep in church. But for others, it's a spiritual help. God's helping you, all right? Instead of Ambien or whatever else you're doing, how about just get to church, all right? According to the JAMA Psychiatry Medical Journal, women who attend any religious service once or more per week are 5 times less likely to commit suicide than those who don't. It's amazing. And then get this stat right here. The National Health and Social Life Survey, which is the most detailed analysis of sexual behavior in America. Got your attention now. Okay. Found that married adults who worship weekly were more likely to report enjoying sexual relations with their spouse. Amen. Men, you can thank me later. Okay. On Sunday, it's important that we gather together as a biological family, as a family to worship with. It is extremely important. Throw out all the scientific research and just look at what the Bible says. Don't forsake gathering together. Commit. Make it a priority. Get together and worship. It actually changes family dynamic from the spiritual context when we celebrate Jesus together with other human beings. Amen. Other human beings coming from other different walks of life, different races, different colors, different ages, different economic situations, different school situations, all these different things. When we all come into one place and worship one Jesus, things happen in your life and in your family. It enriches you when we celebrate Jesus together. We learn about Jesus on Sunday morning. And then here's the powerful thing about Sunday morning. We actually see Jesus save people. We actually see people committing their life to Jesus and surrendering their heart to Jesus and finding salvation in Him. Amen. 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 All right, here's the fifth thing that I want you guys to put down and then actually take a step on this week, and that is to join a small group. Join a small group this week. And we got them launching in Lockhart area. We have them launching in San Marcos. We have them launching from Buda down to Canyon Lake, from the western side to the eastern side, on all different days of the week. We have them in the morning. We have them in the afternoon, the evening. I think almost every single day of the week, you can find a group to hook up with and to connect with. So when you think about it in a family context, there's an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. So if you're sitting here and you're thinking about how to make your family culture better, I want you to get around other people in a small setting that you can learn from, that they can mentor you in. If you're struggling financially in your marriage, if you're struggling with just a husband and wife relationship, maybe you're struggling with the dynamic of your kids entering into a new season, because every season is challenging in its own unique ways. And if you're just now having an infant, your first baby, that's a challenge that you need people in your life to mentor you and help you. And we actually have a Mothers of Preschoolers group that's starting this semester. We call it a semester, like school, in small groups. Wednesday, it meets Wednesday. It's called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, and it's going to meet right here. We also have a women's group that's meeting on Tuesday. We have men's groups that meet on Monday nights and other nights, other sessions. We have a men's group that meets on Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. There's a little pamphlet you were given today at both campuses. Get that pamphlet and look at it. And I want you to find something. If you're already in a group like from last year or last semester, check it out. See if it's still meeting. Connect with that group leader. See if it's still going. If it is, get back in that group. If you want to shift to a different group, go for it. Find a new set. Find a different type of group. We have groups that meet based on interest. So if you have a certain thing that you like to do, look on that and see if there's groups that meet that are doing the things you like to do. If that's a little bit easier kind of group to step into if you're brand new. Here's the deal. If you can connect with people organically and you can make friends and bond with people and get meaningful relationships on your own, go for it and do it. But for most people, that's hard to do. That's difficult to find other people that are interested in growing their family and getting healthy with God. So what the church does is comes alongside of you and says, look, here are some groups of people that are gathering together, and they're small. They're 6 to 12 people in some of these groups. And these are places, these are opportunities for you to connect with other people and get closer to God and to each other. And this is a place for you to ask questions and get discipled and get pastored and get loved on. Whenever there's a crisis in someone's life, a big emergency or whatever, it's their small group that is the first to respond. That's like the EMTs of the church and the first responders of the church are the small groups. And the people that are not in a small group, sometimes it takes weeks for us to figure out if there's something going on because they're so disconnected. But those of you that are a part of a group, man, there's accountability there. People get to know you. That's where the health and the life and the community of the church really is. So, Pastor Will and Tabitha are on staff here, and they're a big part of organizing all these. In Lockhart, you guys need to connect with Mike and Irene and ask them questions. If you have questions about what it looks like, what happens, am I going to meet, you know, what kind of people am I going to talk to? What kind of people are going to be there? We can help answer all those questions. But here's the deal. We're going to give you all this information today. Over 50 groups are going to be started. Now the ball is officially in your court.